Blog Talk Radio.
How are you enabling your channel partners to extend your revenue stream? What tools and processes do you have in place to make sure you're aligned well in measuring partner performance? Welcome to Enterprise Marketing, the Future, the show which focuses on how the future of marketing is about performing real-time, being an agile organization to make the most of evolving opportunities to impact customers and profits. I'm your host, Helene Eichler. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices for marketing thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. This morning, we're excited to have Erna Arnarson on the advisory board at Viato and former VP Global Channel Alliances and Field Marketing at Plantronics with us to share her insights on how to operationalize your channel program for scalability and business growth. Welcome, Erna. Let's get started.
Thank you, Helene.
Erna, I know you and I know each other for a while, and you've been involved with channels. What do you see as some good approaches for channel marketers in planning and implementing a successful channel marketing program?
Well, first of all, if I could, by answering that question, I think I first need to state what I think of when I talk about channel or use the term channel marketing. A channel marketing covers a wide range of channel activities that will lead to successful go-to-market engagement. So I think of and use the term channel marketing to refer to the broader value chain of a channel strategy development all the way through program development, channel sales and marketing, and operations. So just to set the stage, if I could, that I'm going to be using that term, channel marketing, to reflect the channel development spectrum. So first of all, I would say that I'm going to walk through maybe in my mind, I think of three pillars, you know, for effective go-to-market engagement with a channel program and channel model. And it's a really holistic view is the goal. I really want to have a holistic channel program. So there's three areas or pillars that I would refer to as being, you know, important to, you know, plan and implement a successful program. First of all, you know, validating your channel strategy. You know, what is your channel strategy and what needs are you serving with your products and solutions? You know, what's your partner identification model? How are you going to find your partners? You know, are you going to use distributors? What's going to be the roles of the partners? So the partner category, you know, is your channel strategy and how are your partners being lined up, recruited, and developed is the first pillar. The second pillar in successfully building, you know, these programs is building out the program elements or structure to support that strategy. And that means really understanding what the requirements are going to be for the partners, you know, what are the eligibility going to be, authorization, you know, requirements, certification requirements, et cetera. What is going to be the incentive programs you're going to offer and what is going to be the overall ecosystem or landscape of your partner community. So that's kind of the second area, really going deeper into the partner elements or structure. And then the third area, as I see it, is the offerings themselves. You know, what is going to be your, you know, your model or business proposition to your partners that's going to really create engagement and drive revenue? So it's obviously going to be built, you know, on three things in my view. The first is that it's built on, you know, your product and service innovation, what you're actually offering, you know, whether it's a SaaS tool or a hardware tool or a network product or a software solution. And then secondly, what is going to be the partner engagement offers? What are you going to actually offer to engage and to enable your partners? And the third is what are going to be the incentives or rewards to drive that partner engagement and profitability? So those are the big, you know, pillars if I think about what it's going to take to plan and implement a successful channel marketing program.
That's great, Erna. Now, we have the pillars. You define that really well. Coming back to that, what infrastructure do you see then or tools do channel marketers need to be considering to support this?
Yeah, that's a good, really good question, and it's an area, in my view, of explosive growth. It used to be that, you know, we used to think of channel marketing and sales as being supported by, you know, our IT organization or our sales ops function or whatever, and it wasn't really something, in my view, that a lot of people, you know, invested that much time in. But more and more, the infrastructure and tools required to run the channel, you know, marketing or channel development organization are really significant now. And once again, I'd like to talk, if I could, about the three, what I think of as three categories of tools that are required and then what they're all anchored by. So will that work, do you think, Helene,
that's,
for everybody?
That's great. Yeah, through? Please take us there. Yes.
Okay. So the first area that is, you know, and certainly kind of defined by what we talked about as channel marketing, the discipline of channel marketing, is the platforms that are focused on helping partners generate demand, track leads, roll out campaigns, you know, maybe partner locators even to get them to be partners in the first place, social media, really more marketing-oriented tools, even MDF platforms that reimburse partners for and business planning tools or marketing planning tools that help them. And some of the lots of different platforms out there, Veritech has a marketing tool for demand gen. Some of the MDF platforms like VizTex or CCI are other examples of tools that are specifically, you know, used for channel marketing development. Second one that is out there that we all have spent a lot of time on is sales tools, and these are tracking, you know, sales revenue, point of sale data, for example, Zime solutions, deal registration tools like Salesforce or other CRM-based solutions. They're also, you know, helping with sales enablement, that is training or certification tools. Again, all around the function of selling, if you will, or tracking the sales and enabling the sales. And they're often I would include in that category platforms that might be doing rebates, incentives, or co-op tracking, or other metrics and revenue tracking capabilities, you know, tracking against targets that have been set by, you know, hopefully mutually by the partner and the vendor. So those are the sales tools. The third area that I think of group tools into, I've seen a lot of different templates, but these are the ones in my mind that work, you know, in terms of thinking about big categories. The third category is service or admin tools. And these could be or often are things like billing tools for an MSP business or maintenance if it's, you know, tracking maintenance or renewal business of licenses. Maybe there's minimum pricing support for products that may also operate in a consumer pricing, you know, minimum advertising pricing for consumer-oriented products or products that are, you know, moving between enterprise and consumer markets, or even payment systems that might be out there. So these are the, you know, the kind of functions that you would tend to see and line infrastructure tools tend to be lined up, IT tools, either SaaS or software platforms, tend to be lined up in these areas of functions. Now, what's really important is to think about where is the intersection point of all these different capabilities, right? So they are being anchored by what is referred to as PRM, Partner Relationship Management Systems. It's really a takeoff on CRM, you know, which Siebel pioneered, and now Salesforce is a leader, but there are many CRM solutions that are tracking customer engagement and prospect engagement. And PRM is really a more, at earlier stage, you know, specifically partner-centric platform that is geared at how you manage your partners. And those tools that I described tend to all plug in, hopefully integrate, and are anchored into a PRM solution. Now, a portal will bring in information from your partners or allow partners to engage directly with the platform and will allow information to flow both ways, hopefully, for platforms of that nature. And again, these platforms or PRM tools are it's a very, you know, active market that has been growing pretty rapidly and evolving. And it's generally grouped around three different types of PRM solutions. You know, there may be some really customized, you know, built-in-house solutions like you know, some very large companies would basically have their IT groups kind of build them, or the second area I've seen and participated in and had various different engagements around is finding a packaged solution that would fit our environment. And it's usually SaaS-based, but a packaged offer that's kind of integrated already, and maybe we could plug in some of our own tools into it. And then the third is really bringing together point solutions or apps and trying to kind of build your own, maybe build it on Salesforce or something, but try to create it as a tool, a PRM-based solution. And, you know, there's a number of packages out there that run the gamut from, you know, the package products like RelayWare, Impartner, PartnerPath, you know, to Salesforce or other tools that are, you know, various different point solutions that all work, hopefully work together. So it's a really growing area, and when someone thinks of channel marketing or channel development, at this stage, it's really become very integrated with what you would think of as, you know, as channel or marketing operations, as opposed to just a channel development function.
Which makes sense, because I think you and I would both agree, as channel folks, that we've seen the whole operations function growing in the channel world most recently as well. So, Erna, where have you seen some organizations, you know, examples of some companies that have done this really well?
Yeah, well, I think that there's been a lot of success stories out there, but also a lot of striving and growing and challenges in evolving channel programs. I tend to look at channel programs as sort of revolving around two different kind of structures or approaches. One is a value-based approach to a channel program, and it really ties to the type of product or type of market you're trying to create. I personally think, and having been exposed to and having worked at Cisco, I think Cisco has kind of pioneered that approach and promoted it. Really all the big companies have adopted that, as well as many other companies in the high-tech space, you know, where the channel programs have been, and this is a very general kind of conversation, but companies like IBM, Microsoft, and others have all, whether hardware, software, or service companies, have worked to create programs that are really focused on, you know, what value partners are being can realistically create around your solution across the whole, you know, life cycle of the solution. Whether it's, you know, building a product or marketing it or selling it or distributing it, you know, where in the customer value chain can partners add value, and then rewarding those partners based on that to maximize engagement and to really, you know, create value together in the market. So the companies that have kind of taken that value-based approach and really fleshed that out and really focused on that from a role-based approach and a value-based approach, I think are more successful than, and I'll give you examples of things that I think maybe are more challenging, but are approaches that are more challenging. Now, not all products maybe fit purely as a volume, you know, as a value-based, you know, kind of product or solution. And then we think of other programs that are volume-oriented, maybe commodity-centric, maybe not as differentiated. And here, channel efficiencies, operational efficiencies, you know, maybe do require other program elements and are not as focused on some of the fine points of, you know, channel engagement. They're much more about other elements of, you know, distribution. So programs that can evolve and scale, you know, that can go global and so forth, are really successful. I do think that it's important when companies build out their channel programs that they don't spend too much time. And I think we've all been there. I know I've been there. It's tricky, you know, to not try to define the channel by types of partners in too granular a way that you end up with a whole lot of little sub-programs that are actually very difficult to administer and manage and to avoid and to be efficient at, so, as well as avoiding conflict in the market, you know, across your different partner, your different partner constituents. So, for example, you may have partners that you would think of as, as integrators, you may have partners you think of as ISVs, consultants, OEMs, VARs, MSPs, CSPs. I mean, you know, there's you know, 6 or 7, 10 different variations, as well as distributors, broadline or value-based, and you end up with so many different granular partner types that, you know, that sometimes programs get created around, that they end up being difficult to actually really differentiate and figure out where partners fit. So more and more, the partner programs that I think are the most effective and successful are ones in which the partner community is looked at, you know, it, maybe it's a spectrum, obviously, of different value in the, you know, in the partner offerings, but there's a viewpoint of a holistic channel community, a partner community, and partners may fulfill different roles, you know, but they are actually operating in a broader whole, and you're looking at a program that's holistic enough to, you know, to really support these different partners, you know, measuring different forms of value, rewarding it differently perhaps, maybe even grouping them together in certain subgroups, but starting from the whole as opposed to, you know, kind of trying to stitch together a lot of little, you know, programs into one that isn't always that cohesive. So that's where I've seen the most successful programs, regardless of, you know, what platform you're building it on, maybe what category you're in, hardware, software, et cetera, what size of company you are. We could all benefit from thinking of it, you know, and starting with that. I wouldn't say it's a blank piece of paper. You know, you probably already have a lot of history and a lot of, you know, of, you know, structure already perhaps in your channel model if you're, you know, an ongoing concern and not a, you know, a true startup, pure startup. But those are the things that I think make for successful programs and where companies are able to scale and adjust their programs and balance them.
That's great, Erna. Well, yeah, you also addressed, I was just going to ask you where organizations typically miss. And obviously the, you know, if you will, taking all the pieces and trying to fit them together versus what I would call the part to whole. You know, you have the whole.
Yeah.
And then you're basically, you have this umbrella channel program, right? And then you're fitting your various partners within that, which makes sense.
Yeah. Right, and I would say that if I could maybe elaborate, you know, thinking about it, you know, what causes companies to maybe, you know, to maybe miss or struggle a little more? Where have we struggled more, you know, collectively as
right.
an organization or group of organizations or industry players? I would say definitely what I just described and you commented on was, you know, is one big area where we're all, you know, we're all in the process of, you know, evolving our, you know, kind of landscaping, understanding our true ecosystem and where partners fit, what role they play. So that's one big one. You know, there are a couple of others I can maybe mention, 3 or 4 others that I can think about. I feel happen, you know, have happened to me and, you know, places I've been or people I've worked with or talked to. One is, you know, the alignment of sales and marketing is sometimes tricky, you know, and it sometimes maybe isn't as tight as it could be. The interlock may not be as great as it needs to be. And whether there's business units or whether there's, you know, functional structure in place, you know, there's sometimes in bigger companies or any size company, you know, people have different objectives, and it's sometimes hard to line that up in a way that really optimizes the channel downstream or the go-to-market downstream. So that's another area that I see. I sometimes see that, you know, we're not always able to do an honest assessment of what our channel capabilities are, and we have unrealistic maybe expectations of what channel partners can do, especially in an evolving or growing or new market, nascent market, where we think partners can really go out and create some of the market structure that they're really not going to be capable of till we make certain investments and do certain things to build the market. So I think we being vendor, referring to the we as a vendor, you know, company. So that's another area. I also see challenges with maybe structures that are not very global. So maybe they haven't, you know, we haven't thought through what's going to look like when you take it outside the U.S., you know, how's that really going to play? So at least trying to think about some of those elements when you start, you know, as opposed to go really far down the road with the U.S. model and then, oh, my gosh, how will we ever do this, you know, when we get to a different geography. And then the last one maybe I'd put in there is maybe the long view. You know, I think everybody's operating in high tech, certainly is a dynamic, fast-moving, fast-paced environment, maybe compared to some other industries. So I think people want quick wins. We all want to have a 90-day plan, you know, and be able to establish our channel imperatives and immediately execute, you know, but realistically driving investments over, you know, I mean, partners are in business for a long time, and so are manufacturers or vendors or software developers. And so having a view towards, you know, a phased approach that will go on and will create value for partners and for the company over a long period of time and has reasonable investment milestones is good. So I think the way to deal with that and not feel like, oh, geez, we're never going to get there, you know, or we've got so much work to do, is to divide into really clear-cut phases where you know what you're going to do in that phase or what geography you're going to approach or what partner focus or imperative you're after or set of imperatives or objectives or, you know, you get your big vision, but where are you going to align phased investments around building your channel and driving channel engagement? May have to do with your product life cycle. You know, most likely has to do with your market and customer, you know, approach or strategy. But it really helps, and I've seen where companies and individuals can build out their channel structure with definitions of phases of the development. It also gives you ways to measure, you know, how successful you're being in your program and how successful your partners are being before you know you're going to go and invest in the next phase, you know, of development, whether it's, you know, building out some more different types of incentive programs or building out geographies or building out other, you know, maybe sub-programs that you want to have longer term.
Great. Well, Erna, we covered a lot of ground this morning. Please take us through the top three or four takeaways you would tell channel marketers when they're trying to plan and execute their channel programs.
Yeah. Well, I think I've touched on some of these already, so I'll see if I can maybe wrap up this, you know, with maybe what I think of as groups of or set of specific takeaways that I think might be useful to folks in building channel marketing programs and channel development initiatives. So first, and I've touched on this one already, I'll just reinforce it here, is that it is global ultimately, or can be scaled to global, that it's integrated sales and marketing, it's holistic, and that it's phased. So making sure those elements are thought through is a really big part of the I believe, of the channel marketing imperative, if you will, or goal. The second area, I think, is that it does support, that it is going to support a sound business proposition. And here you talked about, and just to quickly define what I refer to when I'm saying business proposition, is that there is a sound or compelling customer value proposition, but also that the economic proposition to the partner is compelling enough to really drive partner engagement and partner investment. So you're going to invest, but you want your partner to also invest and to gain returns and to be profitable, just like, you know, you want to be mutually profitable. So being able to have a business proposition articulated, defined, articulated to the partners too, so they can believe in it and you're both tracking and measuring to it, is really important. Another area that is a takeaway I see, and it's an area that we discussed earlier, I think is super important right now for channel organizations, sales and marketing, is the operations are optimized and as efficient as you can make them. And this is really not a small task, so I don't think we're really very far yet in this journey. I think we're just getting there, but I think that's a key takeaway, is for all of us to invest the time, you know, with our IT or operations teams of, you know, however the companies are structured, to really figure out how to gain and get the best, you know, tools and infrastructure, the most efficient, you know, fast to market, but something that you can really scale and build on and not just really short-sighted so that you end up having to keep redoing it, you know, over and over. And then I guess the last thing that we touched on a little bit that I would reinforce is that the programs are measured and you can adjust as you go along so that you really are looking at a long-term investment approach. Maybe it's not all fully mapped out, but you can articulate it, you understand it, and, you know, people can adapt as they go, as they're building out, you know, a dynamic program. That's a big area takeaway. So it's what I think makes channels so much fun and so interesting and so valuable to companies, is that it's really an area, it's a focus that allows people to apply learnings and experience across, you know, all of the, effectively, the disciplines of the company, from strategy all the way through to operations, you know, and sales and services.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say the last one as well, because I'm a firm believer in it all starts with the strategy. You know, if you don't know where you're going, you don't know how you're going to get there. So makes perfect sense. Well, Erna, thank you so much for spending time with us and sharing your insights this morning. And we'll look forward to speaking with you at a later time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Helene. Take care.
Thanks.